Well, coming up on today's show, the new VW ID turns up in South Africa in camo gear. Formula E kicks off this weekend and we talk about the new electric support series for it as well. And the first Ionity chargers spread into the UK. Well, good morning, good afternoon and good evening. In fact, wherever you are in the world, welcome to EV News Daily. It's the weekend, 15th of December. Hope your Saturday's going well. It's Martin here. I've been through all the EV stories that I could find today. These are the ones I reckon that matter the most. Thank you to myev.com for helping me make this show. Check them out for the best place to buy and sell EVs. Of course, if you're in the USA, you are very lucky to have that. And you can also research and learn about EVs as well. Follow them on Twitter at myev.com. And they're always publishing some brilliant articles, all to do with the kind of ecosystem, the community, learning about EVs as well. Plus, don't forget what it's therefore, which is to buy and sell EVs. We have two new members of the podcast, both new producers of the show. Thank you so much, Adam. Well, Adam DeVries is a new producer of the podcast. Came through at lunchtime, then a couple of hours later, Mark joined the gang. Mark Field. Thank you both very much for being new Patreons at patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Thank you to you. We get to make this program. Watching the shakedown earlier today, Formula E looked exciting. The shakedown, by the way, is where they, any motor race, they bolt the car together and then just to check everything's tight, they do what's called a shakedown. Sometimes it's a lap, sometimes it was like 10 minutes earlier on. I was watching the live stream on Twitter, hosted by Nicky Shields, and it was interesting because they were running at half power and they still looked fast to me. Of course, by the time you listen to this, you may well know the result of the first Formula E race of the year. Well, last week at a Tesla event that I went to, I was talking to Robert Llewellyn of the Fully Charged YouTube channel, and he was telling me about a top secret trip that he was taking this week to South Africa. Hush, hush and all that. Couldn't tell me anymore. Now, pictures have made their way online from a Twitter user of the Volkswagen ID, the first car that VW will make purely designed to be an EV. And it seems like that media opportunity to drive something which isn't a concept car, which is more of a prototype, because in one of the pics that made their way online, I can tell that that is indeed the Fully Charged team looking inside the back of one of them. It's the car that VW say will sell the same for the equivalent diesel. So that puts these sub £30,000 to start with. It's about the size of a Golf, but whatever you do, don't call it a Golf. The pictures were posted on Twitter by Theo Kalitz, or at Theolitz, if you want to follow him and see what the pictures are all about. Just taking a look at them, well, the car is covered in camo gear, as is typical when they're trying to disguise the real shape of it. My first impressions of how the VW ID will be using the MEB platform. The wheels really are on all four corners. That isn't meant to sound daft, by the way. What I mean, there's no overhang at the rear and very little overhang at the front. Of course, this wasn't a platform that was ever built to accommodate a fossil in the front. So it's a bit like a Model 3. I imagine there's a bit of a frunk in there. It's a very, very short front. I imagine it's purely as big as it needs to be for the crash structure. That, of course, when you can move everything forwards and backwards, means more space inside. It has that large sweeping screen that we saw on the concept and a big panoramic roof as well. There's nothing fancy that I can see on this car. It has regular wing mirrors and it has regular door handles. They look like a bit like the door handles on a Golf. Whereas the concept car had really like comedy large wheels. Concept cars always do have the ridiculously large wheels. And it had cameras for mirrors, like the Audi e-tron as well. They're all gone in the sort of prototype cars. The wheels on the test vehicle are the most extreme example I think I've seen of the aero wheel concept. So the aero wheels that you see on the Model 3 and most modern EVs as well, they're closing up the wheels, by the way, for aero effect. Just a couple of small little slits in these wheels. But then again, look, if you're not making the brakes hot because you're not slamming on the brakes, if you're using regen to slow down, as all the car makers are finding out that the brakes on these EVs just stay permanently cool, you don't need cooling. Therefore, haven't got to open the wheels up, which is bad for aero, so you can close the wheels off. Left-hand drive, these test cars. There's two of them in the pics. The dash looks like it's not an inside shot. It's just an outside shot. But if I squint, the dash looks like it's covered in black fabric once again. They're not ready to unveil the dash just yet. At the rear, a pretty large spoiler that continues that roof line all the way back as well, again for aero. And it kind of comes down from the... sort of follows the roof line along, and then the back window tucks underneath it. They say, I'm not sure if this is official or not, they say three battery pack sizes. Of course, the cheapest one, when we say they'll sell it for the same price of the diesel, I imagine what that means is the base pack, the 50, 60 kilowatt hour pack, is going to be the price, the lowest price, and that's going to probably get 150 miles. Somewhere around 250 miles, so what's that, maybe a 60 or 70 kilowatt hour pack. And they say that the platform, the MEB platform itself, is built to take, I think it's 111 kilowatt hour pack. Now, whether we see that maxed out on the ID, or whether they're going to save that for the larger cars and the larger even crossovers and SUVs, which will all be built on this one platform, then maybe we'll see. I can imagine a Golf size, don't call it a Golf, it's Golf sized, it's not a Golf, it's the ID. Looks a lot like one. It is, I would say, what do you reckon, 80, 90 kilowatt hours would be a huge pack for that size car. Maybe they'll cap it at 70 or 80. I'm not sure. I wouldn't think anything bigger. Otherwise, you're getting prohibitively expensive, carrying around a lot of weight on what is a five-door hatchback family car, but do you need that bigger battery? Well, we'll see when they finally get ready to talk specs. Have a look at the pictures online, and I'm sure, now we've seen the team in the spy shots, I'm sure that as soon as they're allowed to, there'll be another brilliant, fully charged video making its way online, and then we can see what these cars are like to be inside and to drive and to have a good old sniff around them. Well, the inaugural Jaguar I-Pace e-Trophy race is happening alongside the start of the Formula E season. It's an 11-car grid, and Alice Powell has been confirmed as the VIP driver for the opening round, according to motorsport.com. Motorsport.com highlighting something that I hadn't realised about this new support series to Formula E, that each race, they're going to reserve one car, or one car will always be reserved, for a rotating driver. So each race, there'll be a guest driver, if you like, a famous racing driver, someone who's famous for other series, and they get one outing in the Jaguar I-Pace. I think it's a great idea because it brings in fans from other sports and disciplines, but also gives people a chance who've never driven. Maybe they've always done single-seaters, and they get to compete in, you know, a big Jaguar I-Pace racing on street circuits. Just fascinating. I think it'll generate more media attention, and a good shout by motorsport.com to highlight that. And according to Jaguar, the manufacturer, Alice Powell has got this first one-off drive. Different squads include Rahal Letterman Racing, Jaguar Brazil Racing, Team Asia New Zealand Racing. That's going to field Simon Evans, the older brother of the Jaguar driver Mitch Evans, in the hot seats, and other teams from Germany, China and Saudi Arabia as well. I'm looking forward to seeing the Jaguar I-Pace hit the track in what is quite a stock car, actually. And by stock, I mean it'll be the 90 kilowatt hour battery that you get in the road car. It'll be the drivetrain that you get in the road car. It'll be the same level of regen, I believe, that you get in the road car as well. So it really will be like watching touring cars, but rather than just being the shape of the car with all the innards and everything different, actually a lot of it will be what, if you could afford to go down and put your order down on a Jaguar I-Pace, you would be driving. Also via my newsfeed today, from the always excellent motorsport.com, the ABB FIA Formula E founder Alejandro Agag has announced he's going to switch his role. He is staying, but he's going to move from being CEO to the chairman, and it means there's going to be a new CEO appointed to drive the championship forward in the coming months. It's a big job, it'll need a visionary, but it's the right time, he says, to move on to be the chairman of that. And what an incredible job over the first four seasons he's done to move electric racing forward. Hello to Pete Glass, one of our listeners, one of the gang, has emailed me to say, have you picked up on the Ionity network starting on its first rapid and ultra rapid charging hub here in the UK, somewhere called Gretna Green? If you're not familiar, yeah, you can Google it. It's going to connect Scotland and England at the very least. Planning applications are also in for Ionity in the UK for Maidstone, Thurrock and Milton Keynes. And there's also a mention of Swansea. Gretna is a lonely dot on the UK map at the moment. But in the rest of Europe, there are 25 5 live and 46 being built. We know these Ionity chargers are capable of going up to 350 kilowatt charges. If you watch some of the Bjorn Nyland videos, by the way, Bjorn loves to explore Europe from his home in Norway, and he's found some of these Ionity chargers that are already operational, and he's gone to check them out. And some of them, by the way, are still limited to pretty low charge speeds because they haven't got the liquid-cooled cables in, but they're saying that's coming very quickly. They haven't hurried with that because there's no car that can charge it, 350 kilowatts. But when they hit the streets, as it were, they will be upgrading. The chargers are ready, but the cables need to be these ones that can keep the temperatures down. I didn't realise that. It's kind of fascinating. Well, looking back at November, the final numbers are in from BMW. We reported earlier this month on the interim numbers, but now BMW i, BMW i Performance and Mini, which make up the BMW group, have totaled 14,767 EVs worldwide last month in November. That's up 26% year on year. Sales of the BMW group electrified vehicles now tally up to 125,000 year so far, 5 years after it was launched to the day. The i3 has achieved an increased sales once again. Last month, 3,468 electric, all-electric i3s were sold, and that is just about equal with the best month they've ever had. They don't split out, by the way, whether that is the existing powertrain, power pack, whether it's the new 120 amp hour, but I imagine, well, it can't hurt, can it? It's going to be adding to the figures. Next month in Detroit, the Detroit Auto Show is going to be the venue where Nissan, their upscale brand, which is called Infiniti, are going to introduce a fully electric concept car. I must admit, it's a concept to provide the taste of things to come from the Infiniti brand, according to Adrian Padenow from Motor1.com. We only have a shadowy teaser image for the time being. It's a curvaceous crossover, he says. Got those LED headlights, which are now becoming a signature look of EV. Side cameras instead of wing mirrors. And the Infiniti badge and lettering is all illuminated with LEDs as well, where the grille would be. Don't need one. It's an EV. Well, moving on, and a new Reuters story today picks up on the battle in the US and the administration in the US and their anti-EV position, which is becoming clearer by the day. President Donald Trump today told General Motors that their decision to move to EVs will not succeed, and he asserted the new trade deal will make it harder for the company to move work to any other countries. So he's saying the GM should always make their cars in the US, and I think he used the phrase like big mistake or something like that, I'm paraphrasing, if they try and move production out of the US. He questioned GM's CEO, Mary Barra, on her business strategy in an interview with Fox News. He said this, and I quote, and I can't do a Trump impersonation, or I would. He said this, and I quote, "They've changed the whole model of General Motors. They've gone to all electric. All electric is not going to work." End quote. I respectfully disagree, Mr. President. But what do I know? Moving on, Porsche will not only make the new Taycan, but also it will deliver them on all-electric trucks as well. Or I should say semi-trucks, depending on where you're listening around the world, because truck could mean something smaller. We're talking about the big ones, yeah? And they've already commissioned MAN to make it. The battery pack is going to be 149 kilowatt hours. That seems on the small side to me for such a big truck. Porsche said by integrating the e-truck into their logistics production, they're taking another step on the path to a zero-impact factory. So they'll make the Taycan in a zero-impact factory and deliver it on the back of a zero-emission semi-truck. Meanwhile, in a related story, I keep hearing about the Taycan and how it's facing at least more delays than the customers would like. Customers would like them in their driveways now. And I wonder, I mean, could the platform which the Taycan is built on as part of VW brand group, could a different brand company beat Porsche to actually getting a car on sale? Say the Audi e-tron GT, maybe. Maybe that one will be the first car that we can get hold of on the Taycan's platform if these delays continue. That would be a bit of an embarrassment for the Porsche team. Let's hope that they are well on targets. So the temporary decrease in import tariffs is big news for Tesla today. They've temporarily decreased the import tariffs from cars being made in the US and being shipped to China. And that import tariff was 40%, and it's just gone down to 15%. It's led Tesla to immediately lower prices of their S and their X cars in China. According to Mark Kane at InsideEVs.com, InsideEVs always have the scoop on these kind of things. Always impressive how they find out these things so quickly. Prices decreased by up to 15,000 euros in the case of the Model S and about 10,000 in the case of the X. Hopefully, it will translate into higher sales in December, all the way through to early 2019. The long-term results are dependent on whether this low tariff, I mean, it's still 15%, but if it's maintained, those expensive Teslas will be sold in bigger numbers. The price cuts, by the way, don't include, they haven't lowered the price of the Model S P100D. And if it's selling well enough, why would you? I'll put a link to Inside EVs in the show notes. So finally today, here in the UK, all government-funded charge points for the side of your home must use smart technology from July next year onwards, the UK government announced today. It means that charge points must be smart, like the Internet of Things. They must be able to be connected to remotely, capable of receiving and interpreting and reacting to any signal which is sent to them. Smart charging can be used to reduce the peaks of electricity. So if you've got your EV plugged in and the grid is particularly overloaded or dirty and they don't want to fire up more coal plants, they can turn your EV down a bit. Not saying they will, that's what the technology is at least capable of doing, and it keeps the costs down for consumers by encouraging you to charge off-peak. So a smart charger would be able to say, hey, it's now gone down below my threshold, start charging. Or, no, it's not below my threshold, don't charge yet. Because overnight, the grid is less used. You've got base load there, like nuclear, and if it's windy, you've got lots of green energy going into the grid, it gets cheaper, and that wholesale market does move very fluid, by the way, through the day. Alongside that, the government's also announced they've maintained grants to install charge points at home and in the workplace at their current level of £500, and it makes it easier for customers to ensure that plug-in hybrids and battery electric vehicles are charged at home. The Electric Vehicle Home Charge Scheme has supported the delivery of domestic charge points to consumers since 2014. Over 60,000 grants have been made to date. I'll add to this my own thought, by the way. Someone said to me recently, when we move to EVs, so the road tax at the moment is free for EVs, so here in the UK, and there is most of the cost of petrol and diesel is tax. I mean, very little of it. It's a tiny percentage goes to the retailer and the refiners. Nearly all of the fuel here is taxed, and that goes straight to the government coffers for them to spend on what they will. And then, on top of that, then we have the road tax. So it's hundreds of pounds per year. It depends on the emissions of your vehicle, but if you drive an EV, it's free. And someone was saying to me, well, all of that tax in time is going to go from the government. So you don't build roads for free. Where's that investment going to come from? And the obvious solutions are pay per mile that you drive, either with a black box and some sort of, or some way of recording your mileage. Pay per mile would make sense because it is a very kind of democratic, if you like, way of saying that person drove 20,000 miles a year and used the road network, and that person went to the corner shop, and that, you know, little old lady in her EV that kind of went for her pint of milk at the corner shop, she drove 500 miles this year, and she shouldn't be taxed as much. So that's one option. The other option people suggest is taxing the electricity that is used to charge your EV. Enormously difficult, because how do you know when you're boiling the kettle, or putting the lights on, or charging your car? One way would be to have smart chargers, and those would keep a record of the energy put into your car. Well, this is the first step towards that. And I'm not saying it'll ever happen, because again, it's enormously complicated, because then people will charge, they just won't use those smart chargers, they'll just use 3-pin plugs or try and get around it. So it's enormously difficult to even get your head around how that would work. But if you were to tax the electricity that goes through your car charger, at least having some sort of connectivity to a government database, or at least a way of recording it, that is a first step for you to then pay tax on what you used. I don't know. It's just thinking out loud of ways that we can at least carry on, you know, funding the roads that we all drive. So, some ideas there. Maybe you have an opinion on that. Maybe, hey, maybe it's a future question of the week. What do you reckon, eh? I'm thinking out loud here. As for now, the question of the week is this. As we head into 2019, what do you think we need to be talking about next year? So, we turn the question of the week onto you. And then you can put it onto us and we'll put it back onto you next year. Tell us what you think question of the week should be. next year. You can email hello at evnewsdaily.com. You can go to myev.com, click on research at the top of the page, and then that little question of the week link, you can click on that. And you can use the YouTube comments and my own blog if you want to. There's a feedback form on that. Thank you very much to all of our patrons, 134 of them, now that we have added our two new members to the gang. Thank you, Mark Field and Adam DeVries. They mean that we can keep the archive online, we can pay for the hosting, pay for the streaming, and thank you very much to everyone on Patreon. And you help me spread the word to thousands of people now every single day about EVs and persuade maybe one or two of them into an EV. Tomorrow we will get on to question of the week and find out what's on your mind. In the meantime, 326 shows you can download at your leisure if you want to. All the usual places that you get podcasts from. Catch up with me on the socials over the weekend. In the meantime, do have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow.